Let's turn this mic on as well.
Just turn all of the mics on in the studio. Welcome to the BFM studio, Sharon Van Etten.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, the pleasure is ours, actually. It's amazing.
I agree, actually.
I'm astounded because usually when an artist will sell out a show, there's not really any reason for them to do press on the ground, but you've been kind enough to come up and have a chat to us, which is absolutely amazing.
Well, I heard you guys are really fun, so...
Wicked. Sounds like Lucy, I'll give you that 20 after the interview. That's good.
It's fantastic.
So welcome to New Zealand. You've been down here once before or more?
Just once before with my bandmate Heather Woods Broderick, and we got to see four cities on that tour, so that was pretty fun. But this time we have a full band, so...
Full band? Is this the Sharon Van Etten band?
What the Sharon Van Etten band?
Are they like a classic band?
Do you have a crack up name for your band?
Sharon Van Etten and the Creeps.
Sharon Van Etten and these mother kind of thing.
That's who I've been on all the runs with this year. I mean, Heather and I have been playing together since 2011, but everybody else is pretty new.
Mm-hmm. Have you written the music on your most recent album with this band, or is it all kind of you and a couple of people in the studio?
Yeah, I wrote all the songs before I went into the studio, and Heather's the only one from the band that was on the record.
Okay.
Are you okay with John saying with his hands like that when he was talking about writing the thing? Is that kind of how it feels? Like John was kind of cupping.
Just trying to talk in.
Cupping a globe.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's hard to put into words.
Yes.
You can definitely put them in those hands.
Now, I was kind of interested in the fact that you used to work at Butterbing Records. Is that correct? The internet
That's right.
is.
Yes. Wikipedia is correct.
Accurate. What's that? What was that experience like? Because, I mean, they sort of have a bit of a connection to New Zealand. There's a few New Zealand artists on the Butterbing roster.
That's correct.
Both current and former. What was the experience like working for them? I know this is deep, you know, long, 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 long ago, but what was it like?
No, it's a good question.
Yeah.
So I first reached out to them when I was working at a wine store in New York called Astor Wines, and I was reconnecting with old friends that I had met in Tennessee when I went to school at Middle Tennessee State. And my friend Alicia was one of his first employees. Mm. And she was hired when Beirut had their first big hit, or whatever you call it.
That sort of took this world by storm, you know, like BFM student radio, I guess.
Yeah, I would say that was like 2003, 2004.
Mm.
And I had just moved to New York for the first time, and I had no idea what a blog was. I had to learn how to Google and how to reach out to writers to pitch MP3s, which, you know, I just wanted to learn how to promote my own music while, you know, getting turned on to new music.
Mm.
And Ben took me under his wing, and he didn't even know I played yet, but I eventually, he asked me to do more publicity. And one of the first records I got asked to promote was the Gate record by Michael Morley after they did the Dead Sea reissues.
Sick.
Was it great to be exposed to so much music working for a record label? Was that helpful in the creation of any of your music?
I think the thing that I took away with it that I still live by is by trusting the people that I work with, and and realizing that you are a family, and that I like to be able to call the people that I work with and hang out with the people that I work with. And, you know, we are friends, as well as, you know, we're fans of each other as much as we help each other out. So it's nice to know who you work with and for. And
that's like the first hurdle to get over when hiring someone or working with someone. It's just, can I hang out with this person? Because if you can't hang out with them, then you're sort of, it's not going to work out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially something like that is so personal.
Mm.
And Ben is still working out of an apartment, you know? Like, he's always been true to himself, and he's always cared very deeply about the artists that he works with. And that's something that I think it's easy to get jaded in the music industry today, but he's still a friend he would probably wince if I said the word hero, but he's changed my life since I moved to New York.
Amazing. And you jumped over to Jag Jaguar a couple of years ago.
Great label.
why did you make the jump over to a label like Jag Jaguar? Is it just sort of a something new, distribution?
Well, at the time, actually, Darius from Jag Jaguar did the co-release of Dead Sea with Ben at Bada Bing. Mm. And I would come in the office, and he would be sleeping in a Tauntaun sleeping bag on the couch. And we put the LPs together ourselves, taking the vinyl into the sleeves, putting them in the jackets, and then putting them in slipcovers and sending them out. I mean, we put them together. And Ben had put out, he helped me sign on with Greg Weeks to do my first record, Because I Was in Love. And then when Language of Stone got dropped by Drag City, Ben offered to help me distribute them. And then he released Epic, my second record. And he was both managing and doing the label, and it was a lot of work. Mm. So I decided I had to pick a role for him. So for my third record, Tramp, I decided that he would be my manager, and I'd have someone else release it so that he could focus on one job, because that's a lot of jobs. Mm-hmm. And the first person I thought of was Darius, because they already worked really well together, that I might as well just keep it in the family and with people that we know and trust.
Okay.
Now, just on all those records that you've made, what does your set consist of? Do you mainly play the new record, or do you slip a bunch of old ones in? Are you like, if someone screams enough throughout the show, do you give them what they want, or what's the...
Don't do that,
by the way.
I've chosen songs off my my previous records that I think are the most positive.
Okay.
And I play mostly new songs while still playing about two songs off of each old record.
Do you mean positive in content, or like major key, or like how do you, or pace?
Content.
Like, yeah, okay.
Because I think on the last tour in 2014, 2015, I realized that
you're bumming people out.
I was bumming myself out, you know,
because I was play it over
because
and over,
I
yeah.
was finally like in a good headspace, you know. I was in love with a new partner, mm-hmm. who, you know, I missed, you know, I realized, you know, because you're also just facing yourself when you have hindsight, right?
Right.
So I was singing all these songs about being unhappy in a relationship and getting out of it, while meanwhile I was leaving this person that I loved at home.
Yeah.
And it made me miss home more, and it made me realize this cycle and the self-fulfilling prophecy,
yeah.
that I had set myself up for. So now when I play the songs, I want to play the songs about more positivity and being in love, and like not all the darkness.
I guess if you're playing it all the time, it can turn into a mantra.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
That kind of answers my question, strangely enough, about just how you seem to have gone from strength to strength. Do you have any rhyme or reason for that you can put your finger on, aside from maybe the changing of some of the content of the songs?
I think... just from, you mean by taking a break, or how do you mean?
What's going on?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. If people think that I have it figured out, I mean, I could lie to you right now. I think for this specific record, I think I'm really proud of the songs that I wrote, but I wouldn't have written them if I hadn't taken a break, paid attention to my life, explored other things, and had something more to write about than my past relationships.
Mm.
I could write a lot more about what I was currently experiencing and my feelings about the future and how, and like where I am now, not just reflecting on my past and all my negative hurdles that I've gotten over, which I know are helpful for other people to hear, but I think by letting go and trusting other people to help me hear my songs in a different light. And I don't know, it's a longer story than that, but.
You've also dipped your toe in the water with acting. Is this kind of like Eddie Murphy in the 80s?
Sorry you couldn't see that, y'all.
It's an interesting move. How does one suddenly become an actress as well as a musician? It seems like there's a lot of arrows in this quiver.
Ooh.
Well, I'm uncomfortable being called an actor, because I still don't really know what I'm doing. And I didn't pursue it, they came to me. Perfect. And it was a casting director reached out, and it was funny because it was the casting director saw me open up for Nick Cave in 2013, but then didn't reach out until 2 years later. And somehow in his mental Rolodex, I was one of the people that he reached out to. I've heard rumors that they've reached out to other singer-songwriters like Angel Olsen and Jen Wozner from Y Oak. So I'm like, they're looking for something in particular.
What's the thing? I haven't seen it. Do you have to play guitar or something?
I'm a singer in the show. It's called The OA on Netflix. And it's about a scientist that does experiments on people that have had near-death experiences.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen the first season.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it.
You're like, Sharon.
I mean, it's specific, you know? I mean, you know, my mom is always like, well, that was really interesting and disturbing. And, you know, it's sci-fi. So if you like sci-fi, you'll like it. If you don't, you might not like it. But it was a challenge, and I still don't really know what I'm doing, but I like trying new things.
Because there's more, you've got more on the cards. So you're hot on the heels of touring like an amazing record, and now you're shooting a film for the BBC or something?
Oh, yes. The Eliza Hittman directed film, and it's a really intense story about a young woman, a teenager, who and her journey to get an abortion because she lives somewhere where it's a small town where she's not able to get one. And it's about her journey with her cousin to find the proper care.
How poignant for the times.
Yeah, it's intense. I play her young mother.
Wow, okay. Heavy.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's an important story to be told because it is hard to, you know, I won't get too political, but it's, you know, it's so much harder for young women in small towns to get the care they need. I feel very lucky that I've been in the bubble of New York and a lot of people can get the help that they need and have a choice.
Not as religious.
Yeah, exactly.
Does acting sort of take a bit of pressure off constantly being on the road and touring as a musician? Is it slightly...
Does it pay better?
No. Not at my level. I mean, in the roles that I'm taking, you know, they're the roles that I want to take, but you know, it is something that as you get more experience, you're compensated. But the best perk about it is that if you keep a certain amount of hours a year, you get the most amazing health care, which, you know, the United States lacks. And so with that, if I keep up a certain amount of hours, I get really great care. Like they paid for 99% of my child.
Oh, because it's a job.
Yeah, it's a job. But I still have a lot to learn, and I'm curious about, you know, more acting, maybe writing, and just I think it's healthy to try other things. I think it makes me a better writer, and it makes me a better singer, and it makes me a better friend and person, and just more interesting things to research and talk about besides my touring, which can be very monotonous.
It's a very, very interesting, I guess, situation. You know, being able to do all these things. I listened to a podcast recently with Joe Rogan and Billy Corgan, which is old. It's a couple of years old. But Billy Corgan just talks about how, you know, if you've been on the road so long as a musician, all you start doing is writing songs about being on the road, and it just becomes like...
That's kind of the U2 trap.
Yeah.
And it also becomes unrelatable, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, nobody... Like, it's... a lot of my friends that tour know what it's like, and you meet a lot of touring musicians, so you get it. But, like, I mean...
You got to live a life.
Nobody wants to hear about band dynamics, you know? It's just like, oh, poor you. Like
trying to hide it in metaphors.
Yeah, they did laundry before you. I'm sorry. I mean, get over it.
All right. Well, was there anything else that you'd like to chat about?
I just wanted to say somebody's texting saying I missed tickets to Sharon. I'm so gutted.
There are a lot of people in Auckland City who are feeling a bit sorry for themselves because they didn't buy tickets fast enough. And you had your chance. That's all I'm going to say to you,
John
listener.
John Campbell signed up for the pre-sale.
Yo. Yeah. We got him in to read your ad.
What?
We got him in to read your ad. Oh. Yeah, it was fantastic.
We'll play it to
He's
you.
He's got right up front, giggly eye.
I guess before we sign off and say that...
Are we taking phone calls? Would that be weird?
Yeah.
Do you want to?
We can do.
It's more for you.
Sometimes we get weird phone calls.
I've never taken a phone call, but...
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Hey, me and a friend, Chris, we were in New York at a nightclub, and it was a dance club, and the DJ played that song, I Like to Move It, Move It. I Like to Move It, Move It. And the whole club went, do, 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 do. And afterwards, Grace Jones come on and played My Jamaican Guy. Do you like Grace Jones as an artist?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's cool, eh? What's your favorite Grace Jones song?
You know, actually, a lot of her lighting from her live film is what I use as inspiration for the live show with my lighting designer.
Yeah, New York's a cool place. We went clubbing in New York. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Amazing.
I can imagine.
Wow.
All right, mate, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
You want it? Thanks, Sharon. You're a real sport. Hey, I think we'll probably go into one of your tunes right now, but before we go, can we get a station ID from you?
Absolutely. Hi, this is Sharon Venna, and then you're listening to 95 BFM.
It's a fact. It's a fact. Now, what should we play? What Sharon Van Etten song would Sharon Van Etten recommend?
Powerful.
I don't know. What's the mood?
I can just go for gold.
Go for the gold?
What's vibing? I mean...
We've got a couple of tunes off the new record. Mm. Looks like we've got a fairly good spread.
When were they last played as well? What's the date today? The 6th. It looks like 17 was played a little bit earlier. It's a jam, though. It's probably my fave.
All right. Well, but if you played 17 earlier, then you want to do Comeback Kid or something?
Yeah, let's do it. That's brilliant as well.
Hey, thank you very much. I hope tomorrow's show goes fantastically well. It's a pleasure to have you up here at BFM.
I hope it goes well, too.
We appreciate it so much.
Funny that.
Yeah. We appreciate a visit to the studio. Like, you wouldn't believe it's been a pleasure to have you up here. Thank you very much. Oh,
thank you.
Got it.
Playing at the Power Station, June 5th, 95 BFM presents Sharon Van Etten.